This Fab FM podcast is proudly brought to you by Bendigo Bank, Port Douglas and Mossman, offering a full range of competitive banking products and technology you'd expect from a big bank with the personal service and care you'd expect from us. Drop into your nearest branch at Port Village Shopping Centre or Front Street Mossman. Bendigo Bank, the better big bank.
We're now talking with our Mayor, Michael Kerr, and Michael, a meeting today, quite a number of things you had to get through, nothing too controversial today. Councillor Noley wasn't in attendance?
No, she was an apology today, so she wasn't there. She gave us notice that she wouldn't be able to make it due to personal reasons, and that's been accepted, so we move on without her, unfortunately, but she'll be there at the next one.
Okay, the first thing on the agenda, the Daintree water bottling changes. Now, just explain, there was some confusion with this initially when approval was given. Can you explain that to us?
There was an approval given for 10,000 litres a day, and with the parameters of what the other conditions were, it wasn't able to get the 10,000. So there was a notice came through just with some changes, but it meant, from what the article said, that they wanted to use more bore water. And Councillor Zamataro brought up some comments regarding the filtration of bore water, and quite often they use quite hefty chemicals to clean the filters that they use for bore water. And there was nothing in the report that if they were filtering bore water, what process they were doing and what they were doing with the chemicals they used to clean those filters with.
Can I just check with you, are they using bore water or from the mains?
Both. So there's 10,000 litres worth of mains, and then anything on top of that they're going to use bore water for. So there was a concern there about the cleaning process of the filters. If they were using the bore water more, what was going to happen with that cleaning process? So I'm sure the information will be able to become available from the staff, and we can get that through the next meeting we have.
Councillor Zamataro also was questioning the packaging being used. And when he first brought it up, I went, oh, packaging, that would be up to the company. But I guess when you're looking at, single-use plastics, if you're looking at things that can be thrown away later and end up in landfill or something, I suppose it's a reasonable thing.
Well, it is. And I mean, the product is being marketed as the Daintree water. Yeah, so I think it's really important, from us perspective, that, of course, they do the right thing and use a recyclable package, which is the intention of doing so. But again, that's not a planning matter, so it's not something that council can enforce as such, but it's certainly something we can request, if you like to put it that way. It's certainly what we'd like to see. But at the end of the day, it comes down to an operational perspective of the owner, and that's his choice.
But you did defer it, and it was unanimous from the councillors to defer it.
It was the 3-1, because I said I was happy to vote on it. The other councillors said that they wanted to defer it, and it's majority rules, of course. They will defer it. We'll get the information that's required, and we'll bring it back and sort it at the next meeting.
At the next meeting, good. Okay, Queensland planning framework, changes in planning initiatives and all of that by the state government. Can you give us an idea of what that means to us?
Well, to us, it's not going to make that much difference. A lot of the policies we already do anyway. But what they're trying to do is make it a little bit easier because of COVID-19 to get some of these planning things through. So they've got some initiatives they've put out, and they've asked councils to comment on them. And that's what that report was for, just our councillors, or our staff, sorry, coming back and giving comment on those suggestions that they've made.
Now, the land at Craigley, there's going to be some development there. What's the situation? Does council own that land, or do you get rates from it, or what's the situation there?
We will get rates from it once the property is subdivided. At the moment, it's a cane field. It's the second stage of that development. The first stage is obviously there, Millman Drive and all the rest of it. So the developer wants to process now and go through with another 35 lots, and this is the infrastructure road that's required to go across the drain there from Millman Drive into the new estate area, and do the main road through there, which council would have to pay for anyway. So what they want is that, just for us to give a commitment, that we'll put $1 million into the budget for the next financial year, and they'll pay for it now anyway. So they're going to pay for it all, get all the works done, as long as they know they're getting some money back in the next financial year. And that's what that commitment's for.
You put $1 million away, would it cost $1 million?
It's going to cost well more than that, because there's a big water pump in there and a sewage pump as well, which will fulfil the needs of that whole estate once it's completed. So this is only stage two of that section. There's another big stage to go as well. So it'll be well worth it at the end of the day once we get those rateable properties coming in.
We're talking with our mayor here in the Douglas Shire, Michael Kerr. Michael, council, and this is a great one. I mean, this is a no-brainer, this one, adopted a single-use plastic-free policy. I mean, this is the obvious step for council now.
Absolutely. The plastic-free Douglas has been going on now for quite some time, so it's really good to take this to the next level and start pushing on some of these other single-use plastics as well. So this policy will, any council property or any council event, will make sure that we're not using single-use plastics, you know, as much as possible. And you know, anyone who has an event on council land will also be encouraged to do things with single-use plastics as less as possible. You know, as I've said to staff, though, we have to realise we are in COVID-19 at the moment. There are some situations. So there is a line in there that states that, you know, for health reasons, etc., that they will allow certain things to go through that can be worked through with the staff. Like plastic sauces was one that I said, the little sachets of plastic sauce, because of the COVID-19 restrictions currently, we have to use them. There's no choice. You can't have the bottles of sauce on the table like we'd like to. But as things relax with COVID-19, if we process further out of COVID-19, there are things that we can certainly work with those retailers to make sure they're doing the right thing.
The Water and Wastewater Customer Service Standard Review, that was done by staff here at Council. I believe it's quite an extensive report.
It is an extensive report. We did go out to public consultation for a period on it. We did have some comments come through. And I do have to say that I'm aware that the Douglas Ratepayer Association is still doing some work in that area. And you know, once they've done the report, if there's anything in there that actually stands out to us that really needs looked at, we can re-look at it. But the staff did the work. It's a regulatory thing that has to be done every 5 years, and we were coming close to that time, so that had to go through for this meeting. And it is a great report as it is. You know, our customer service standards is something that I know I'm certainly pushing hard in here to make sure that, you know, all customers, which are our ratepayers and everyone that lives in this shire, gets the best they can from this council.
And the Water and Wastewater Quarterly Report, that's separate again, isn't it?
It is. That's a full report of all the water that's been made and used within the whole shire. And it's quite interesting to see the different levels of water, the usage, like in Port Douglas, for example, having people at home, we've pretty much used similar water to what we would when we have tourists here and people are at work. So we didn't reduce that far in the water usage in Port Douglas, which is quite amazing to see. But it's great to look at those figures. And it's really important that people see how water is actually produced. It just doesn't get sucked out of the creek and pushed through a tap. There's multiple layers of processes that it goes through to ensure that what's coming out in your tap is healthy and drinkable and that you don't get poisoned from it. So it's a very technical process, and you know, I encourage people to look at that report to see exactly what happens and how it happens.
Talking with our Mayor Michael Kerr, the Mossman Golf Course proposal purchase, Lot 21, associated buildings. Let's get this right. You're talking about the clubhouse land and that car park. Is that what you're talking about?
That's correct. There's three blocks of land there. There's one large portion, which is owned by the state government, that's under a council. We look after it as such. There's another big block there the council already owns. And then the actual block where the building and the car park is the block that we're now purchasing.
So that's the clubhouse.
That's correct. So we're just purchasing that area there, and then we'll own the whole lot. And what we'll do is we'll be a landowner, not a business owner, just a landowner. And we will put the business out to the bowls club, who have come forward and said they're happy to operate that facility to make sure it stays in Mossman and it continues to be a public asset.
Yes, that was a unanimous decision to do that. Councillor Scommerzon supported it, and also Peter McEwen, Councillor Peter McEwen, said, quote, win-win for everybody, and made the point that the tin shed can't keep propping this club up, that financially it's a real burden for them.
Well, at the moment is because Port Douglas is struggling so hard. And so, of course, them being one of the Port Douglas businesses, they've got their own issues at the moment. And so the option has come forward for us to take the golf club from them and put it back into Mossman hands. And I think that's the right choice to do. And I think it'll be a great asset for Mossman people, having another Mossman club running it. Yeah, they can share their people and really do cross promotions and things like that within the same area. So I agree with Peter, it's a win-win situation. The ratepayers get a great asset that we can now get a revenue stream from. The golf clubs, and it continues to be open, and we've got a great club running it.
Now, we mentioned this in our preview to the council meeting, but worth mentioning again, the Daintree ferry fees are being waived for tourist buses to help out during this COVID-19 time. Councillor Scommerzon made the point, however, that you can't do that forever. It's only for this August-September period.
That's right. So for the buses, we're going to do free for the tourist buses that are coming up here for August, September, just again to give them that little bit more help to make sure they're bringing these buses across here. A lot of the buses are half full because of the COVID-19 restrictions. So if you've got a 12-seater bus, sometimes there's four people in it, you know, which is the same as a car, really. So, you know, they're paying all the added costs and staffing, all the rest of it. So we thought we'd do the right thing, give them the opportunity for another couple of months to have it for free, so they can take people up to the across the river and visit some of the businesses up there. And just even if they buy a cup of coffee, it's $5 they didn't have beforehand. So it's really important that we get as many people there as possible. But Councillor Scomlinson's right. We can't keep doing it for free. You know, we have to, at some point, say enough's enough. So what we'll do in the next couple of months is keep a close eye on how things are going as far as the tourism and the amount of people going across there, and we'll slowly progress and put payments through, and we'll work that up. So this will be the last time it'll be free, but we really encourage the businesses to use it whilst they are.
And just two final things, the financial report, the interim financial report, June 2020. What do we get out of it? It's a very detailed report, but what do you think are the main points you got out of that?
Well, I think the main points are to see where council's tracking. You know, and you can see that, you know, $1.4 million deficit, which was predicted because of the COVID-19 costs and the added things that we've been doing since this new government or new council was put in, is showing this $1.4 million deficit there. But, you know, the staff still track very tightly, and it shows that, you know, we are still pulling things in, and we're going to make it as less as possible as far as these deficits go. But, you know, it's really important that we're out there and we're doing the things that are required, that a council has to have a bare minimum service, and that's something I'm really strong on. And yes, it's costing us money at the moment, but we will get to a point where it's not going to be costing us money, and we're going to have a far better shire and a far more presentable shire as well.
The CEO's report was the final thing. And Michael, at this point, we might talk to the CEO, Mark Stormer. Mark, you got high praise for this report. How detailed is it?
It's a very detailed report. I've got to say that it's actually a joint effort across the organization to put it together. The teams take great pride in what they do, so they very much enjoy writing that report and sending it out to the public so they can see what we're doing.
That's the great thing, that people can, the ratepayers, the residents of the Douglas Shire, can go onto the council website and see that report in detail.
Absolutely, and I really encourage people to do that. I've had a lot of feedback from people that actually read it that say we really should do a better job about promoting it, because it really does highlight just the vast amount of activity that we do. A lot of people don't realize just the amount of things that we do, and this report gives people a really good sense of that. So I'd really highly recommend for people to look at it. It's got lots of nice pictures in it, so it's not too hard to read. But yeah, I think it's a great report.
Mm. Yes, on the surface, you'd think a report like this would be fairly dry. But when you look into something like this, this is like the world we live in. This is our local world.
Yeah, it is. And whether it's libraries, whether it's building a footpath, whether it's swimming pools, you know, we try to highlight all of that. So yeah, it is our community, and it's the work that we do, and it's the work that basically ratepayers are paying us to do as well. So it's worth knowing what your rates go for.
I know you can't talk to us in detail about it. It'd take too long. People could read it. What do you think the dot points are for that report, and what are you most proud of?
Look, the thing that I say this all the time to people, the thing I'm most proud about over the last few months is that we've actually been able to keep everything going despite COVID. So particularly the amount of capital works that we're doing, lots of shire beautification, that's been terrific. I'm really pleased with the work that the Economic Recovery Group has done. And that's been a joint effort between the Chamber, TPDD, Jabalbina, and Council, with some other support from some other agencies.
Including FabFM.
Including. So we've really, I think that work has been excellent. The whole Buy Douglas, Build Douglas, and Do It in Douglas campaign came out of that. But I think what's really great about that, and what I'm really proud of, is that we've worked really well with the other groups, as I said, the Chamber, TPDD, Jabalbina, and going forward, having those four groups, you know, including Council, working together is going to be really important. So I think that's a great thing. But, you know, overall, just the fact that we've been able to keep things going despite incredibly difficult times for a lot of people.
Yes, they are difficult times. Mark Stormer, thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks, Paul.
And Michael, what Your thoughts on the CEO's report?
It's amazing to see the amount of things that this council does. You know, it covers off so many different topics and so many different areas. People forget that council, most businesses just have one thing that they do and they do it well. Council has to do multiple things and do them all well. We're plumbers, we're builders, we're roadmakers, we're, you know, it's incredible the things we do. We're cleaners, we're gardeners, we're all these things. And this report just shows in detail the amount of work that this council does over that period. And it's quite amazing to see the things that we do for a little council. And, you know, it's wonderful to see such great movement happening. You know, people are coming back to me and saying how proud they are of the Shire. It's looking so good at the moment. And you see from these reports why there's lots of things happening, and I'm very proud of the report. And I think, you know, the CEO and his staff should be extremely proud of it too.
Yes, and it's onwards and upwards, and it's by Douglas, Bill Douglas. We keep that going.
Absolutely, do it in Douglas. Forget that hashtag, do it in Douglas.
I love him getting that. He loves getting that bit in at the end. Okay, thank you. We'll talk to you next time. And until then, keep safe.
Thank you very much. Have a great week.